This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS, great to have you here on a not bad of a Wednesday. We're still in the mid-40s, 43 right now. Tomorrow, high of just 35, a low of 20. And then Friday, we're staying in the cold zone. 31 is a high, a low of 17. In the February was incredibly warm, and we're already seeing ticks out here in Lansing. And the concern with ticks, of course, is Lyme disease. Back in the years 2000 to 2004, we had about 30 cases of Lyme disease reported in Michigan each year. Then in 2009, a major leap. And then by 2013, 166 cases of Lyme disease annually, going up every year. Dr. Richard Horowitz with us, author of the new book, How Can I Get Better? An action plan for treating resistant Lyme and chronic disease. Dr. Horowitz, great to have you on WILS.
Yes, thanks for inviting me, Mike.
And, well, first of all, with Lyme disease, what exactly is it? How do you explain what Lyme disease is?
Right, so it's a bacterial infection that transmits by an infected tick. About half of the people do get a bullseye rash or a solid spreading rash, and half of the people don't get a rash at all. So anywhere between about 3 to 30 days after a tick bite, you can come down with flu-like symptoms, feeling very tired, aches and pains, and one of the hallmarks of Lyme is that it migrates around the body. So anybody who's listening, if you're having migratory joint pain, migratory muscle pain, migratory nerve pain, tingling, numbness, burning, and you've got good and bad days, and they're coming and going, and your memory starts going, you can't remember things, you can't fall asleep at night, you keep waking up, you're depressed, you're moody. Mm. Lyme causes all of these different things. It's known as the great imitator.
Okay, the body seems to be able to fight off all kinds of bacteria, all kinds of viruses. Why is Lyme able to get through and hurt us this way?
Yeah, you know, it's a very tricky bacteria. It has more DNA than any bacteria on the face of this planet. And they've shown that Lyme can evade the immune system. So when it goes into the body, it's now been shown that it can go deep in tissues where the immune system doesn't find it, inside cells. And the latest research that's come out of the University of New Haven the last couple of years is that it's in biofilms, meaning you have to go to the dentist to get the plaque taken off your teeth to get to that bacteria. That's a biofilm. It's kind of the same thing. They hide under the biofilms, and it's much more difficult to get them.
That sounds downright scary. And so now if you get a tick bite, is there a way to stop this bacteria from hurting you this way?
Yeah, so, you know, if it's just on for a very brief period, people don't need any prophylactic treatment, but you have to make sure you're taking the tick off correctly. Get underneath it with a tweezer, pull straight up. You don't squeeze the tick. You don't put gasoline or Vaseline or anything strange on it because it'll regurgitate the contents into you and make you sick.
Okay.
So, you know, the real key is, I think, for most people, if they're going to enjoy the outdoors, is prevention. You can get permethrin spray from most of the hardware stores and take your clothes outside and spray it.
Okay.
It will kill the ticks. And then they've got things like Avon Skin So Soft makes a product called IR3535. It will repel ticks. It's been shown to be safe in pregnant women in Europe. There's another one called Picaridin. And these are good for both mosquitoes and ticks.
And do most ticks have this bacteria then?
I'm sorry?
Do most ticks actually have the bacteria? If you get bitten by a tick, are you likely going to be infected with the bacteria itself?
Well, you know, yeah, so it varies from state to state. Now, I have patients from Michigan who come see me, and they've actually been quite ill. And one of the things that the patients from Michigan who've seen me have had is also babesia. So the ticks are now containing multiple co-infections. They don't just contain Lyme disease. There's another species called Borrelia miyamotoi. Lyme is Borrelia burgdorferi. And unfortunately, Borrelia miyamotoi, which is a relapsing fever Borrelia, you can't pick it up on the standard testing. Babesia, you've got an area in Michigan where it's quite high. That'll cause day sweats, night sweats, shaking chills, flushing, air hunger where you can't catch your breath or a cough. So if anyone has those symptoms after being bitten by a tick, they could have gotten this malaria-type organism called babesia, and it's treated completely differently. And what I found is the people who get these multiple infections from a tick bite, those are the sickest people.
Wow. And so how – now, if you do have – you've been bitten by a tick, it has this bacteria in it. Is there something a doctor can do within the first days or weeks to stop this from getting worse?
Yeah, so some some doctors will give two doses of doxycycline. Unfortunately, that article that was published years ago, they really didn't do a good long-term study. What we do, if the tick was on for several hours, at least, you know, 6 to 8 hours, it's embedded, it's difficult to get out, we will give people a couple of weeks of doxycycline. I have the dosages in my book, and in fact, in the back of the book of How Can I Get Better, if people are still sick and their doctor don't know what to do as far as how do I treat a tick bite? How do I treat Lyme in different stages? I have the dosages and exactly what to do in the addendum of the book.
So you're saying that will stop Lyme disease from developing if it's treated within the first day or so?
Yeah, so if you take some doxycycline early on in the course, and we do this for patients all the time because I've seen so many chronically ill people, we'll give them 2 or 3 weeks of doxycycline, and usually it prevents people from getting sick, except the doxy would not cover Babesia, this malaria organism. Okay. It would not cover viruses that are in the tick.
But that's not a lifelong thing, right? That goes away over time. Dr. Richard Horowitz with us. His brand new book, How Can I Get Better? An Action Plan for Treating Resistant Lyme and Chronic Disease. Okay, so Dr. Horowitz, of course, what happens then if the treatment hasn't occurred, it's been months, maybe years, what can you do at that point?
Well, so the issue, the people who come to see, at this point, treated over 12,000 chronically ill people. So they've usually gone to 10 to 20 doctors looking for help, and that's why I wrote this book. There's a new treatment regimen that I published in the medical literature last year using some very old drugs that they used to treat tuberculosis and leprosy. They're generic. You don't need an IV. And we've been having actually remarkable success with these drugs because Johns Hopkins University published that the Lyme bacteria is what's called a persister bacteria, similar to tuberculosis or leprosy. So I started using those other drugs. And again, I have the protocols in the book, and we're having really some great success.
What does that mean? So even years later, you can go in there and kill the bacteria then?
Yeah, so I mean, we are having success in people who've been chronically ill. We don't know at this point whether we actually have a cure. I'm not sure we're there yet. Mm-hmm. But we are making some very good headway based on the research coming out of Johns Hopkins and some of these other universities. So we'll be publishing further studies this year.
I've heard that you can't detect it after a certain amount of time. The damage has already occurred, but you can't see it somehow. Is that true?
Yeah, so, you know, the antibody tests that people use, they're only about 50% effective. It's like a coin flip. So if someone goes to the doctor and the doctor does what's called an ELISA test and it's negative and says you don't have Lyme disease, it's not true. We had a young man in our area with a negative ELISA who died of Lyme disease from Lyme carditis. It got to his heart. Mm-hmm. So people have to know that the tests are not reliable. Okay. It's a clinical diagnosis. And in the front part of my book, we have a questionnaire. If you score over 63 on that questionnaire, you have a high probability of having Lyme, and it'll show you the symptoms that most people get.
Really? So you're basing it on symptoms. And how many of them could be those psychosomatic?
Well, I mean, of course, there's always a possibility that it's there, but the problem is that Lyme also causes psychiatric symptoms. So, you know, if you're a little bit anxious, you get very anxious if you got Lyme and Babesia. If you're a little depressed, you get really depressed. We've even seen people get schizophrenia, OCD. Every psychiatric diagnosis, unfortunately, can be caused by Lyme and co-infection. So people have to be very careful. If they have a multi-systemic illness with physical symptoms and psychiatric symptoms, that's when you want to suspect maybe a tick-borne disorder.
Jeez, it sounds like the scariest thing ever. Do most people get cured completely? Or?
Yes. I mean, you can get cured early on in the course, and I'm working, you know, at this point on a cure. And in fact, again, the reason I wrote this book is because some of the people that have failed all the traditional protocols are responding to the protocols that are in How Can I Get Better? So I made sure that the doctors and the patients had an easy manual to be able to follow the new protocols that we've been discovering are working quite well.
If you pursue some kind of holistic approach where you change your diet or try to improve your health in general, does that help in any way?
Yes. I'm in fact, you know, I have a model in the book called MSIDS, Multiple Systemic Infectious Disease Syndrome. It's a 16-point model. And it's kind of like going into a doctor with 16 nails in your foot, telling him you have foot pain, you got to pull out all the nails. So on this model, if let's say you have food allergies and you don't change your diet and you keep eating the allergic foods, you're going to have an inflammatory response giving you the same symptoms you get with Lyme. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I mean, you have to go through it piece by piece to see what's causing the inflammation. Maybe you're not sleeping. Maybe you have zinc deficiency. Maybe you've got co-infections. Yeah. The trick is you've got to go through it piece by piece using the 16-point model.
That sounds like an entire journey. How often do people come in thinking they have Lyme and you find, no, it's not that at all?
Well, you know, the people who come to me are positive because that's really what I do at this point. Mm-hmm. So they already know they have Lyme by the time they come to see me. So it's really not an issue for me. But, you know, we obviously have people that have MS. Lyme is the great imitator. So it'll imitate MS, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia. The real issue is the opposite. If you have a chronic fatiguing illness or an autoimmune illness and you're not getting better with the the treatment your doctor is giving you, you actually should be thinking it could be Lyme and co-infection.
I mean, how did this suddenly become such an issue in the past several decades then?
Well, you know, the bug's been around actually for a long time. They found it in Otzi, the Neanderthal man, 5,000 years ago. In Tyrolia, it's been found in amber for millions of years ago. So I think this bacteria has actually been around for centuries causing problems. But I think where the issue is now is that the other bacteria and viruses and parasites in the ticks are evolving. And a lot of the environmental toxins that we're now getting into us, we are seeing infections and toxins causing this inflammatory response. So I think it's not just the ticks themselves with the bacteria. We find a lot of heavy metals, mercury, lead. We're finding mold toxins. We're finding pesticides.
So you're saying that exacerbates the Lyme. And so are there people that have Lyme without any real symptoms out there?
Yes, but you're right. I mean, the toxins can exacerbate. That's exactly right. It exacerbates the symptoms, not for everyone, but for some people. But there are people who get bit who may have a very good immune system or, you know, take some antibiotics for something else, and, you know, they're fine. They have a positive test, but they're fine. The key is you don't treat blood tests. You treat people, not blood tests.
So should someone expect, if they've been suffering from symptoms for years, even with treatment, are they still going to have some effects that are going to be there for the rest of their lives from the Lyme?
You know, it's possible. You know, the success rates I have with this 16-point model, you know, is good. I would probably say that when I wrote my first book, Why Can't I Get Better, we had about a 90 or 92% success rate, meaning 8% of the people still had active symptoms. I just couldn't help them no matter how hard I tried. This new book with these new protocols, two-thirds of those people I couldn't help even 4 years ago are now getting help. But the help is some are a little better, some are moderately better, some are significantly better, and some are symptom-free. But there are people that can go on and have mild symptoms but still have a good quality of life and be able to live their lives well and not be in bed suffering from this thing.
Dr. Richard Horowitz, his brand new book, you'll learn a lot more because this is just scratching the surface here. The brand new book is How Can I Get Better? An Action Plan for Treating Resistant Lyme and Chronic Disease. Dr. Richard Horowitz here on WILS. Thank you, Dr. Horowitz.
Oh, it's my great pleasure. Thank you, Mike.